And now back to Farmcast Radio with your host, Brian Ulmer.
I now continue with the exclusive audio from this week's Renewable Fuels Association's One Year Later webinar. Here's Scott Rickman, Chief Economist with the Renewable Fuels Association.
I'm going to try to put some numbers around what has been going on and the trajectory that we might be on going forward and exactly what that means for the industry. So a month ago, there was substantial uncertainty about how the COVID-19 pandemic and especially government restrictions related to it would affect transportation fuel consumption. And since then, the initial impact has become clearer. According to both government data and private estimates, gasoline and ethanol usage has fallen nearly 50% compared to a year ago. And now that there's some clarity about these initial effects and there are plans for reopening the economy that are beginning to crystallize, it's possible to take a step back and assess the ongoing damage to the industry. And toward that end, the RFA has conducted an economic analysis that consists of three components. The first is an assessment of the trajectory of ethanol supply and demand. The second is a regression-based ethanol price analysis. And the third is a look at the impacts on the broader economy. So the latest data on gasoline and ethanol usage, as I mentioned, were down about 50%. And that started to track public and private forecasts of where consumption is expected to go. And researchers at Purdue University recently published a study that reflects this initial loss, and it also provides a reasonable path for the rest of the year. So we applied the percentage reductions from that study to domestic ethanol usage, and then we built supply-demand estimates around it. And in this scenario, we estimate that ethanol production could fall by approximately 3 billion gallons in 2020 for supply and demand to balance. That's a nearly 20% cutback. And mainly due to the lower usage and the high resulting inventories of ethanol, it's estimated that ethanol prices will be 56 cents per gallon lower on average from March to December than they otherwise would have been. As a result, ethanol sales are on track to fall to $12.5 billion in 2020. That's a 46% reduction from the $23 billion that would have been expected absent COVID-19. And finally, it should be recognized that ethanol facilities and their employees are not the only ones who are adversely affected by what's going on. The ripple effects are already hitting corn growers, service providers, and others in rural America. ABF Economics reported that last year the ethanol industry contributed $43 billion to U.S. GDP and supported nearly 350,000 jobs. Based on RFA's analysis, it can be projected that the industry's contribution to GDP will shrink to $30 billion, nearly one-third less, and the industry will still support nearly 280,000 jobs, but that's a reduction of almost one-fifth. So the impacts on the ethanol industry from COVID-19 are starting to become clearer, and unfortunately, the picture is rather bleak. So with that, we'll open up for questions, and I'll turn it back over to Jeff Cooper.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. And at this point, we will ask Phyllis to go ahead and open the lines for question and answer.
Your first question comes from Spencer Chase with AgriPulse.
Obviously, looking for some reaction to the trading day that we saw today with oil trading in the negative. Just wondering if Jeff or Scott, if you might be able to kind of pontificate on what you think that might mean for fuel demand in general and ethanol in particular.
Answering the question was Scott Rickman, Chief Economist with the Renewable Fuels Association.
Yeah, so what's been happening today is somewhat a condition of the expiration of the May contract, so it's not necessarily reflective of the underlying commodity, but it is reflective of how unusual the times that we find ourselves in are. And it's also reflective of this much demand destruction for transportation fuels, how it's a tremendous struggle to get supply and demand back into balance. So if you start looking at the June contract, that seems to make a little bit more sense. The May contract is a little bit more reflective of contract expiration, but it's still kind of a stark reminder of the times that we find ourselves in.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Kay with Burns Bureau.
A couple of questions. One is, why do you think you were not included in the CARES Act package? What's the prospect for getting in the next one? And how do you cash flow? How do you survive being mothballed for what could be months, particularly if there's really a slow comeback in the use of liquid fuel in this economy?
This is Jeff. On the first part of the question, Matt, obviously we're very disappointed that ethanol was not included in the $19 billion package that was announced Friday evening. And we're not exactly sure why that is. We had been discussing with USDA and certainly weighing in with Congress as well about the need for some assistance to the industry to weather this crisis and to get through this and come out, you know, but a whole on the other end. So it was incredibly frustrating to see that some form of assistance for ethanol was not included. I think the answer that we've heard back from USDA is there just wasn't enough to go around. And I think the demands on their resources were such that there wasn't, not enough funding assistance available to help out all of the sectors that that are in need of assistance. I think you've seen that message consistently conveyed as different commodity groups are responding to Friday night's package. I mean, even some of the commodity groups and farm groups that were included are saying, you know, this is helpful, but it's not enough. So I think there will be additional rounds of assistance, coming from USDA, and it's certainly our hope that ethanol is strongly considered for inclusion in those additional rounds. At the same time, we are continuing to weigh in with Congress as they discuss a fourth stimulus package. There's also this discussion of sort of a 3.5 package, but we believe that's going to be mostly focused on extending CARES Act programs providing more appropriations for some of those, like the Paycheck Protection Program, which is good, and we support that, and that program has been helpful to the industry. But in terms of more specific relief for the ethanol industry, we think a fourth stimulus package is a more likely vehicle for that sort of program. There is strong support for something like that. I mean, we had a letter from more than 30 members of the House and 15 senators to USDA last week encouraging Secretary Perdue to specifically direct some assistance to the ethanol industry. So we know there's support in Congress for that type of assistance, and we're going to continue working with our champions in both chambers to try and get something included as the next package is debated. And then on the second part of your question, Matt, I'm going to ask one or more of the ethanol producers to weigh in.
This is Neil, Pacific Ethanol. You're right. It's difficult. On the negative side, we've had to lay off workers. On the more positive side, we're doing what we can to be as resourceful. Talked about maximizing the sales of our high-quality alcohol and CO2, and that's been helpful. Have very constructive relationships with our lenders. That has to be a part of it as well. And just working as hard as we can to get through it. We have applied, not yet funded, but applied through the Paycheck Protection Program that Jeff mentioned as well. So it's not easy, and it's why we need government support. It's why we need policies that give us a clear view and give all the stakeholders that we work with a clear view that on the other end of this, that we have we can get back to a growing, robust ethanol business.
In the final segment of FarmCast Radio this weekend, I'll wrap up the exclusive audio from this week's Renewable Fuels Association's One Year Later webinar.
We'll be back right after these messages. To find out more about FarmCast Radio and catch up on the latest news in agriculture, visit barnmedia.net.
One of the tenets of what we do at Sylvius Financial is we're going to make their risk transparent for them and show them where things are.
The farmer should know at all times inside a Sylvius software or with a Sylvius service person how their insurance is working with their broker.
And so we can help people understand exactly how to use them and make it transparent when they can be applied in what situations.
For more information about Sylvius Financial, call Tracy Tattersall, 303-886-0102. 303-886-0102.
If you don't know where to begin to get mental health, substance use, or emotional help for yourself or someone you know, start with the Cobbler Crisis Services. They provide confidential and immediate support 24/7, 365. Call toll-free 1-844-493-TALK. That's 1-844-493-8255 or text TALK to 38255 to speak to a trained professional now. Learn more online at cobblercrisisservices.org.
Colorado pork producers employ practices that protect public health. The U.S. supply chain has earned global recognition for the safety of its products, meaning you are receiving the best quality pork to keep your family healthy. For more information, contact Colorado Pork Producers Council or visit porkcares.org.
Ag Fact of the Day. Hey, honey, I'm home. Yes, home to lots and lots of bees who pollinate our crops and over 1 million pounds of honey in Colorado every year. How sweet is that? This Ag Fact is courtesy of the Colorado Corn Farmers Checkoff Dollars and the Colorado Corn Administrative Committee.
If you work an 8-to-5 job, when do you have time to get to the bank? First Farm Bank's drive-up window is open from 7:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8:30 a.m. until noon on Saturdays. You won't find another bank in town that's more accessible. Stop in and see our Sterling or Yuma locations and find out how First Farm Bank is putting you first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.